The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Time now for Dr. Health Radio, radio's original health news magazine, bringing you the latest information on medicine, nutrition, fitness, and wellness. Now, in its 28th year, your host of Dr. Health Radio is health expert David Snow, who is not a doctor. And while most of David's guests are doctors or authorities in their areas of expertise, they do not diagnose or prescribe on the air. If you have a condition or illness that requires medical attention, see a health professional. The information contained in this program is for educational and entertainment purposes only. And now, your host of Dr. Health Radio, the Snowman himself, David Snow.
The couple were sitting on the front porch enjoying a glass of wine when the woman said, "You're so wonderful, I can't imagine living without you." Her husband smiled. "Is that you talking?" he asked. "Or is it the wine?" "It's definitely me," she says. "But I was talking to the wine." Unfortunately, although the occasional glass of wine or serving of alcohol may be okay, some people can't imagine living without it, and sometimes they can't imagine living without a lot of it, and that's where the problems start. So in this hour of Dr. Health, alcohol addiction, what you need to know when it comes to recognizing the symptoms of addiction in those around you, your family, friends, or coworkers, or strangers, especially those you have to share the road with at this most dangerous time of the year to be driving and riding on the roads. Good morning, aloha, and welcome to the healthiest 2 hours on radio. I am the Snowman, David Snow, keeping you cool and healthy as we do it each and every week at this time here on the program, and we thank you so very much for joining us and making us a part of your weekend. Now, at this time of the year, it's a dangerous time. You know, it's the most wonderful time of the year, as the song goes, but it can be the most dangerous time of the year as well when it comes to being out and about in various public venues and especially out on the roadways. So Doug Thorburn, our alcohol addiction expert, who joins us every year at this time, will join us in just a few minutes talking about some of the information in his four books on alcohol addiction, including Get Out of the Way and How to Spot Hidden Alcoholics, and many other tips on what it, you know, the aspect of alcohol addiction. You know, people think of the tramp on the street or the beggar or the homeless person with a bottle in their hand. And really, most alcoholics are highly functioning alcoholics, and they're in some of the highest positions in our society. Doesn't make them any less dangerous in other ways. Sometimes they're sociopaths or, swindlers or criminals. I mean, just all, there's definitely a dark element to alcohol. Not to say that all alcohol is bad, that's not by any means, but, there's just a lot of addiction going on, and people don't often recognize the signs and symptoms of addiction until it's too late. So we'll talk about that in this hour of the program. Ever wondered where the word alcohol came from? Well, Arabs made a fine black powder with antimony mineral, and called it kohl, that's K-O-H-L. They dabbed it onto the eyelids. The stain was one of the earliest cosmetics. Queens and women of wealth spent fortunes on the finest variety of eyeshadow, which they called alcohol, literally the powder. By the early 17th century, Western travelers used alcohol for fine powder that stains. Eventually, it referred to any substance obtained from an essence, and particularly distillation. Thus, alcohol of wine meant the essence of wine. Soon it became simply alcohol. Thus, today's liquid refreshments bear the name of eyeshadow used by beauties of ancient Egypt. So that's where the name came from. Hey, back in May of this year, you may remember a man was arrested and charged with a felony after he harassed a female airline passenger and then urinated on the seat in front of him. He was charged with interfering with a flight crew and a misdemeanor charge of indecent exposure. FBI affidavit stated that Michael Allen Hogg was drinking double vodka and tonics during the flight. Gee, I wonder if alcohol had anything to do with his behavior, do you think? And then just a few days later, you may have remembered this incident, on May 25th of this year, the start of the Memorial Day weekend, a beer brawl broke out on an American Airlines flight to Miami. Apparently, an arrogant passenger who had already had several beers was effectively cut off by the flight attendant who said he had had enough, you know, just like bartenders are supposed to do. And that's when he got angry physically. And then a law enforcement officer who fortunately was on board got into it with him, and they were really going at it. I mean, I remember seeing the video, the passenger video that the passenger took, and they were in the aisles of the plane and everything. And, you know, but my take is passengers are addicted to ordering alcohol on these airline flights, and the airlines are certainly addicted to the money that the alcohol sales generate. So, you know, I don't know where it's going to stop. I hope in 5 or 10 years or 10 or 20 years, maybe it's going to take. But we'll look back and say, God, can you imagine they used to allow people to drink alcohol on planes? You know, just like we're doing 20 years later after they banned smoking, which they never should have had allowed in the first place on a sealed aluminum tube that other people are breathing in as well. But anyway, I'll get off my soapbox. Okay. You know, but folks, if you can't go 5 or 10 hours without a drink, something's wrong, and maybe you should be flying, or maybe you should get help, okay? All right. Yeah, I guess I'm still on my soapbox. Okay, for you winos out there, I mean wine enthusiast. Did you know it takes, 700 grapes to make one bottle of wine? Those poor little fruits are hardworking. And did you know classical music played in restaurants increases the amount people spend on wine. And drinking wine before a meal makes you eat 25% more food. Also, wine drinkers pour 12% more wine into a glass they're holding than one that's sitting on the table. Who do you think is the world's largest consumer of wine? What country? It's China. Red wine, at least, they're the largest consumer. And what country drinks the most wine overall? The smallest country. More wine is drunk per head in Vatican City than in any other country on earth. That's a lot of communions. And between 1908 and 1965, Winston Churchill was reportedly drank 42 bottles of champagne. I guess he had a thing for champagne. You know, I apologize if we don't get to the different segments that we usually get to, the fitness file, Funny Bone Pharmacy, and sexual health, because I got a couple other alcohol-related articles I want to get to. Now, you've heard this before, right? If children are exposed to alcohol at an early age, they'll take away the novelty of it, or that will take it away, and it'll prevent them from being heavy drinkers as adults. Well, in fact, the opposite may be true. This from evidence which shows that children who start drinking earlier are more likely to binge drink later in their lives and also have problems later in their lives with alcohol. Also, there's a new campaign called What's the Harm, where medical officials are urging parents to delay introducing their children to alcohol as much as possible. Now, they contend that no child should be allowed to drink any alcohol before the age of 15. Another study published by the chief medical officer for England, Liam Donaldson, says that it's healthiest for children not to drink at all until they turn 18. Well, rot's a ruck on that one. All right, let's see. Where else? How much time do we have? A couple minutes? Okay, good. We have enough time here. Okay, so I covered that article. You know, unfortunately, related to what I was just talking about, a recent survey revealed that almost half of parents think children should be introduced to alcohol before the age of 15. It goes on to say that the medical advice is clear Alcohol can affect brain development and is linked to mental ill health. Yet only 1 in 20 adults is even aware of these guidelines. So, now you know. All right. Okay, and a couple other things in the news. Let's talk about alcohol and deception. Now, this story illustrates it best, I think. I saved this from earlier this year. Also, it was revealed that singer and entertainer David Cassidy, who was the heartbeat or heartthrob of the 70s and 80s, he was a recording artist and entertainer and actor. You remember him from the Partridge Family, TV show, the family TV show. He did not succumb to dementia after all. In his own confession, he recorded it 2 months before he died at age 67 last year. It was revealed that it was alcohol that did him in. He says, he was quoted as saying, "I have liver disease," and Cassidy explained to an A&E producer in a recorded conversation and went on to state that there is no sign of me having dementia at this stage of my life. Maybe his publicist told him to use that as a reason for his downslide. "It was complete alcohol poisoning," he stated. At least he came clean with the truth. I hats off and admire him for that. David Cassidy ended the confession by saying, "The fact is that I lied about my drinking," which is often the case, especially with celebrities and people of his notoriety. "Actually, the reality was that David was still abusing alcohol until the last days of his life." And the bombshell confession shocked not only the producers, but also his family, who assumed he was living a clean and sober life. That's how well alcoholics can hide it from other people. And we'll talk about that that exact circumstance with Doug Thorburn in just a few minutes. Finally, fellow actor and Partridge Family co-star Donnie Bonaduce added, "Part of alcoholism is lying. When you're an addict, you can't be honest with people. You say what you want them to hear." Well, that says it all, doesn't it? Okay, what is dysbiosis? That's the undesirable altering of the microbial community within your gut. We talked about that last month with microbiologist and biochemist Randy Perupkin when we did a show on digestive health and probiotics and enzymes and everything having to do with your digestion and elimination. But it can cause all kinds of problems if you're in a state of dysbiosis. Now, histamines are one of the main causes. One main cause of dysbiosis is the release or consumption of histamines. And your diet is often involved because certain foods and beverages contain histamine. Well, for instance, white wine contains 130 micrograms per glass, not a lot, but red wine, 3,800 micrograms per glass. And where's my resveratrol article I have around here somewhere? Why people drink red wine. Well, it has resveratrol, and it's linked to longevity and good health and everything. But the fact is, you'd have to drink way too much wine. The amount of wine you'd have to drink would be, you'd be killing yourself. It'd be slow suicide before you ever got the benefits of from the resveratrol. Alcohol is mainly going to counteract any benefits of the resveratrol in red wine. But anyway. Also, various cheeses, especially aged cheeses, are high in these histamines. So if you know you're going to be consuming these, pop a probiotic, because that, and Theralac is the one we recommend. Theralac is the fastest-acting medical-strength probiotic and available in natural food stores in the refrigerator section. But before you indulge, or ideally a couple hours before, a day before, it helps to mitigate any reaction to these high histamines. If you seem to be sensitive to them, which a lot of people are, they say, "Oh yeah, I have issues when I drink red wine, especially." All right, now no time for the segments we usually have, sexual health, but I will say, I came across this. Did you know in the 19th century, circumcision was used to treat epilepsy, hernia, lunacy, and paralysis? My goodness. And it's still a barbaric practice. And fortunately, less than half of men are now getting circumcised. And let's go to the Funny Bone Pharmacy, since we only have 1 minute. In front of my, this policeman was talking. He says, "In front of my police cruiser, began weaving in and out of his lane, a motorist did. He quickly hit the sirens and pulled him over. As he approached his window, the motorist window, he was hit with a stench of alcohol. He said, "Sir, can you tell me when you started drinking and how much you've had?" "Well, officer, I can't tell you how much I've had," he slurred, "but I started drinking in 1967. Okay, my goodness. Hate to make a joke about alcohol, but that's not funny when you get stopped for a DUI. Definitely, you don't want to drink and drive. Avoid the three Ds at all cost. They are being drowsy, being drunk, or being distracted on the roads. Excuse me. And that is it for this segment of the program. But join us for alcohol addiction. What you need to know about addicts that may that you might not be aware of, who are closest to you, your friends, family, co-workers. And, of course, then there's the strangers on the road that you need to be concerned with, the people that you have to share the road with at this time of the year, at this most dangerous time of the year. We want to make it the most wonderful time of the year for you and your health and your family. Stick around if you want to stay healthy. I'm David Snow here on Dr. Health Radio. Don't go anywhere. Back right after this as Dr. Health Radio continues.
Elton John for Rad. You know, it's easy to rock and roll and party and have a good time, but just let someone else do the driving. Remember, rock lives and you should too, and so should other people. Please don't drink and drive.
By now, you've heard about the popularity of products containing cannabis-based CBD because of the many benefits people are experiencing by taking them. What you may not know, though, is there are other plants besides cannabis that contain these same cannabinoids. Emerald Health Bioceuticals, the global leader in the research and development of plant-based phytocannabinoids, offers you five dual-acting formulas for the results you expect. Choose from Bliss, Brain, Calm, Inflame, and Sleep. And no matter which doctor formulated product you choose, you can feel confident that every one of Emerald's safe and effective science-based nutritional supplements are the best value for the price. So if you're someone who's looking for more vibrant health and energy, stop by your favorite health store today to check out the next big thing, the hot products from Emerald Health Bioceuticals, or check them out at emeraldhealthbio.com. Emerald Health Bioceuticals, the endocannabinoid company.
Welcome back to the program. David Snow on your radio. It's the healthiest 2 hours on radio, and we thank you so much for joining us and making us a part of your holiday weekend here on here, where more information equals less medication. You know, glasses can make driving a lot safer. Yeah, providing, of course, they're worn instead of emptied. And please don't drink and drive, folks, because cars and bars often mean scars and stars, or stars and scars, whatever. Anyway, our show this hour, which is every year at this time, right around the holidays, the end-of-the-year holidays, is on alcohol addiction. So it covers the topic of health and safety. And we're talking in particular about the hidden signs of alcoholics, of highly functioning alcoholics, as well as others that are not so highly functioning, because you can't be as you can get high from alcohol, but you can't be as highly functioning as if you did not consume it. And here to help us with this information is Doug Thorburn. He's a recurring guest, has been on this show every year at this time for, gosh, a couple decades, I think. But he's the author of four books on alcohol addiction, including Alcoholism, Myths and Realities, as well as Drunks, Drugs, and Debits, and Get Out of the Way, How to Spot Hidden Alcoholics. And we welcome him back to the Dr. Health Radio microphones this morning. Good morning, Doug Thorburn. How the health are you?
I'm doing great, David. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here, as you are. You know, I got to say that, you know, this is your avocation or your passion. It's not your day job. Just like this radio show is not my day job. I have a regular job, but we do it for a community service. So I want to ask you, first of all, how, as a certified public accountant, you got into researching alcohol addiction, of all things.
Well, enrolled agent, not CPA.
Okay.
Certified financial planner as well.
Yeah, that's right.
I got into it because I began to see that my clients had been financially abused by others, were abused by alcoholics. And the way I stumbled onto that was I'd been romantically involved with an addict, and I said, I better learn something about this because I didn't want to go through that again. And I started reading all the books on alcoholism that I could find and attended not just Al-Anon, but AA meetings. And that's where I really learned about alcoholism. It was talking to recovering alcoholics.
Mm.
And so I put two and two together. I saw these people at the meetings, said, these are great people. What the hell is wrong with this? And I finally realized that alcoholism causes misbehaviors. It's not that people are fundamentally rotten. They're usually not. Alcoholism instead turns them into bad people. They cause bad, the alcoholism causes them to engage in destructive behaviors. So I wondered if I observed, I turned the idea upside down and I said, gee, if I observe a modicum of misbehaviors, how often might I find alcohol or other drug addiction? And I experimented with the idea, and I find it about 80% of the time when I suspect it based on a series of misbehaviors. And they don't have to be a whole lot or terribly bad misbehaviors.
Mm-hmm.
They range all over the map from making belittling remarks of others to serial murder and mayhem.
Mm-hmm.
But if there is serial murder and mayhem, or if there are belittling remarks of others, there's an addict 80% of the time.
Wow. And speaking of addiction, you know, they say that alcohol changes your brain's hardwiring, as do other drugs, even more so sometimes. And that's what causes the behavioral changes or the personality changes and disorders and, you know, people going downhill from not only the physical effects of the drugs, but the psychological and emotional effects as well.
It turns Dr. Jekyll into Mr. Hyde.
Yeah, right.
It fundamentally changes the personality when there is alcoholism. I'm not talking normies, normal drinkers.
Mm-hmm.
Normal drinkers are stinking drunk at a 0.12. The addict is barely getting started at a 0.15.
Wow, really?
Very different biochemistry. And that's why I had to redefine alcoholism to really understand it. The commonly accepted definition, which involves loss of control over use, is useless if we're to identify addiction in its early stages.
Go ahead. Finish that.
Yeah. So I redefined it.
Yeah.
It took a while, but redefined as a genetic disorder that causes the afflicted person to biochemically process the drug, alcohol, or other drugs in such a way as to cause that person to act badly some of the time. So it's genetic. It's a biochemical difference. We can see that because they are obviously processing the drug differently when they're not stumbling drunk at a 0.15 and you and I are. And it causes them to act badly, not all the time, some of the time. They'll pick and choose. They might be suave and sophisticated and charming. But that all is in a bid to wield power over the other person. That's the key here. Alcoholism in the early stages, middle stages, causes egomania. Egomania impels the addict to have a need to wield power over others. They wield power over others by abusing them, but also, perversely enough, by becoming extraordinary overachievers, accounting for the Mel Gibsons and Ted Turners of the world.
Mm. So they manipulate their behaviors to make people either like them or cater to them or make them do what they want.
Bed them or murder them,
Right.
And it goes all over the map. And that's one of the problems with identifying alcoholism is the behaviors take so many different forms. The common thread is abusing others, sometimes financially. That was my little forte as an enrolled agent tax professional and certified financial planner. Sometimes physically.
Mm.
And thank God they don't all do it physically or we'd all be dead. But always, they will always verbally, psychologically, and emotionally abuse others in their lives. Not everyone, but some people. Might only be behind closed doors.
Right.
It can be very difficult to find in such cases.
Yeah.
I had a good friend come to me one day and say, Doug, I'm sober 2 years. I said, Laura, I didn't even know you drank. She said, Doug, you never saw me sober. I was drunk morning and
night
for a decade.
Are you serious?
Oh, and my I never saw it. So I knew enough not to ask, were there destructive behaviors? I said, did the destructive behaviors occur only behind closed doors? She says, yep, only my husband and daughter ever saw them.
Oh, that is shocking. You know,
but that's not common. Usually there will be some signs outside the bedroom, outside the house.
Right, right.
In the workplace, so you'll see people do, you know, some crazy things, backstab, what have you. On the road, it's real easy. They're the ones driving in and out of traffic thinking they're king of the road.
Yeah, and we'll get into that as far as how to spot hidden alcoholics on the highways. But, Doug, let's since you mentioned redefining alcoholics, let's define the word addiction, whether it's to alcohol or other drugs or particular behaviors. How do you define it as an expert?
Same thing. It's the same.
Okay. All right.
Okay. It's genetic. And most alcoholics can become cross-addicted to other psychotropic drugs.
Oh.
And psychotropic drugs need the definition, because I'm not talking caffeine or even tobacco. They don't cause you to act badly towards others.
Mm-hmm.
But psychotropics cause something called euphoric recall. Euphoric recall is where the addict remembers everything they do and say through self-favoring lenses.
Oh, I see.
That is the cause of egomania. If everything you do and say is good and right, nothing bad or wrong, you must be God.
And then if you are a celebrity and you have all these yes men around you, you know, the people that cater to you, you never know the difference. I mean, you think that everything's hunky-dory and that you're normal and there's nothing wrong.
Well, they feed the ego. They fuel it.
Exactly,
you know,
right.
By saying yes, they just fuel the addiction.
Mm-hmm. Now you
and
say,
that's the problem. Good luck ever getting a wealthy addict sober.
Yeah,
they got too many enablers around them.
Right, which is why they have to go back time and again to the drying out centers or the rehab centers.
I'll dry out for a month and then I'll go back and drink again.
Yeah, exactly. Now you mentioned tobacco and caffeine, but isn't it true? And I think in previous shows you've mentioned this, that most people that consume alcohol are also smokers and coffee drinkers, or is it vice versa?
There's a weird correlation there. A smoker who is also an alcoholic cannot stop smoking until they stop drinking.
Oh, okay.
They can't do it. I knew one. She said, yes, I stopped smoking once. I said, how come? She says, I got pregnant.
Oh,
I said, so you stopped smoking, but you didn't stop drinking.
Oh,
she says, yep, of course.
Oh my God.
And then she says, and as soon as I gave birth, there I am on, you know, spread eagled and giving birth, and I hold up my two fingers. Well, give me my cigarette now.
Oh, my God. Jeez.
As far as coffee goes, caffeine, they drink coffee late at night. It's weird.
Oh, because they can.
I don't know why.
Yeah, they can.
Then they can go to sleep.
Wow, interesting. Paradoxical effect. Okay, Doug, on that note, let's take a break for about our station ID. And when we come back, I want to ask you about, since it's the time of the year that alcohol consumption rises with all the Christmas parties and family get-togethers, reunions, and also people giving gifts of wines and spirits and everything, what we need to be aware of because of this, and then also how to spot hidden alcoholics on the highway. This is very important information you're not going to want to miss, so stay tuned as Dr. Health Radio continues. Don't go anywhere. If you want to stay healthy, I'm David Snow here on Dr. Health Radio, the healthiest 2 hours on radio.
When it comes to probiotics, why do employees, managers, and owners of health stores recommend and personally take Theralac more than any other brand? Results. Fast results. In fact, Theralac is the fastest-acting medicinal-strength probiotic. With patented stomach acid-resistant delivery, prebiotic stimulation, and guaranteed potency, Theralac restores regularity fast while providing all the long-term benefits of a superior probiotic supplement. Don't be fooled by probiotic products that promise higher potencies or more strains of beneficial bacteria. High potency means nothing without delivery, and more strains are not necessarily better. Theralac is optimally formulated for results. Theralac, the high-potency probiotic with guaranteed strength, delivery, and stimulation, supporting your digestion, regularity, and immunity. Theralac, available in the refrigerated section of your favorite health store. For more information, go to Theralac.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, listen up. It's me, your immune system. I'm always hard at work defending you against the many disease-causing viruses and bacteria that you are exposed to every day. But sometimes I need help to defeat the bad bugs. Luckily, our friends at Kyolic have come to the rescue. Kyolic has two super immune-enhancing supplements, Kyolic Immune Formula 103 and KyoGreen Harvest Blend Immune Defense. KyoGreen Harvest Blend is a power-packed blend of organic and naturally sourced grasses, ancient grains, fruits, veggies, herbal extracts, and spirulina in a fast dissolving drink mix for a quick and easy way to support immunity. Kyolic Immune Formula 103 combines immune boosting nutrients with aged garlic extract. Aged garlic extract has been clinically shown to support a healthy immune response and reduce both the duration and severity of cold and flu symptoms. Help me protect you with Kyolic supplements and nutritional drink mixes to fortify your immune health today. Available at fine natural health retailers.
With all the news about side effects of prescription and OTC anti-inflammatories, just launched is Xanthocin, a very potent yet safe anti-inflammatory supplement for health and longevity. Xanthocin is the result of decades of research on the natural compound astaxanthin, proved to support inflammatory health without the side effects. And Xanthocin is a pure and highly absorbed form of astaxanthin, endorsed by doctors and healthcare professionals for superior health and anti-aging benefits, backed by 1,500 peer-reviewed papers and over 50 human trials. It's also potent. In fact, just two capsules of Xanthocin with a meal equals six capsules of other astaxanthin products. So enhance your supplement regimen today by adding Xanthocin to support your inflammatory health and longevity. You can find physician-endorsed Xanthocin at all GNC locations in Hawaii and the mainland, or order it online at xanthocin.com.
Outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. Since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
It is David Snow on your radio. It's the Snowman keeping you cool and healthy during this holiday season. And we thank you so much for joining us and making us a part of your holiday weekend. Hey, when it comes to ethanol, you know, ethanol might be good for your automobile's engine, but it definitely has no place in the automobile's driver. And always remember, the hand that lifts the cup that cheers should not be used to shift the gears. Please don't drink and drive. You might spill your drink. And, you know, you don't want to be a 3D driver that is drowsy, distracted, or drunk. Distrowsy, that's a new word. Distracted and drowsy, that's not good. Okay, back to our guest, Doug Thorburn, an alcohol addiction expert. Now, Doug, let's talk about, since this is the time of the year, which is why I mentioned what I just did about drinking and driving, and that tends to go up during the Christmas and New Year's holidays. As far as people's, you know, everybody's getting tipsy at parties and they say, oh, I'm, you know, a little buzzed or warm. I mean, that's inebriated, you know. Let's get things straight as far as, you know, there's no two ways about it. If you're feeling the effects of alcohol, you're impaired to some degree. I mean, you might not be totally impaired, but you shouldn't be out there driving and endangering others as well as yourself. Now, what do we need to know to be aware of this as far as, I know you have a book on spotting hidden alcoholics, especially on the highways. Give us some of the, I remember from some years back, tailgating was a classical sign of somebody that has been drinking while they're driving. What are some of the others? And if you could go into detail on the tailgating.
Well, tailgating, oddly enough, even though we all tailgate from time to time, denotes a 50% probability of a DUI.
Wow, really? 50%?
And the reason, I think, is it's because addicts do it far more often. Mm. So that's why you get to 50%. You know, like I say, all of us do, you know, illegal U-turns, but an illegal U-turn is 35% odds of a DUI. And if a person's a DUI in a day and age of MAD, person's probably an alcoholic. And keep in mind, when you're at the party before they go home, they think they're God. So they think they can drive perfectly fine.
Well, and isn't it also because alcohol, one of the first things that goes by the wayside as far as the effects, the physiological effects of alcohol, is judgment and reason.
especially with alcoholics.
Yeah.
Yeah. The non-alcoholic doesn't think they're God. They don't think they can drink and drive safely. I mean, they may think that at a 0.12, and they may not be terribly dangerous at a 0.12, even though 0.08 is the per se level of intoxication in the States. And it's lower in some other countries because they have worse problems, I suspect.
Right.
I think Finland, it's 0.02 or 0.04.
Oh.
It's just a lot more alcoholics. And this is a genetic thing. It's not to blame them. You were either born with alcoholism or you were not. Then did you trigger alcoholism? So,
as they say, the genes are the gun, your environment and lifestyle is the trigger. Right. So, you know, if you never pull the trigger, it's not going to be a problem.
Well, do you drink? That the trigger is, did you ever have a first drinking episode?
Yeah.
The first drinking episode is not one or two drinks. You know, it's, four or five
binge.
Or ten.
Yeah, right.
It's a binge. And the typical alcoholic, by the way, remembers their first drinking episode.
Interesting.
I would have never remember that. It's not important.
Mm-hmm.
It was that important to them.
Wow.
And the way they put it is, the first time I ever felt like I was powerful.
Ah.
And the interpretation is, so you felt, this is how I say it to them, so you felt like you were God. They say yes.
Hmm. Interesting.
You got to dig. You got to ask the right questions, as I did when I was exploring this and discovering this. Anybody weaving in and out of traffic, speeding way faster than everybody else, I'm looking for a probable DUI.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. I see one little, quirk behind me. I'm always looking in my rearview mirror as well as ahead, glancing in the rearview because I don't want somebody coming up from behind suddenly.
That's right.
And I can spot him. It's weird. I see a little twerk, a little movement of the wheel or something. I start watching and 50, 60, 70% of the time, I end up seeing more signs that suggest to me likely under the influence.
Wow.
By the way, the extreme case is somebody flipping somebody off. Okay? That's like 70, 80% odds.
Really?
Or driving at night with your lights off.
Oh, right.
The darker it gets, the greater the odds of a DUI.
Hmm.
So, is
it because most people drink at night, or is it because because the memory goes and they forget to turn the lights on?
No, they just forget to turn the lights on, and it's not that they're only drinking at night. Some do, by the way. Some, I'm no alcoholic because I only start drinking at 5 p.m. That's a common phrase among alcoholics.
Hmm.
But
it's five p.m. somewhere as far as happy hours go, right?
That's right. It's happy hours somewhere. Some start as soon as they wake up. I had a longtime client who told me about his escapades when he was a practicing drunk. He was a professional driver. He'd wake up in the morning and he'd have a triple screwdriver. Yep.
Oh, my
just
gosh.
Just to open his eyes.
Jeez.
Then while he got ready for work, he had another triple screwdriver.
Hmm.
And he gets on the road at 4:30, and by 5 a.m. he's at Canaan Dune Road in the 101 freeway in Malibu area. And he bribes a mini-mart attendant to sell him a couple slits malt liquors because he can't sell until 6 a.m., so it's 5 a.m. So he does that. In the meantime, he's already got his car stocked with a 6-pack or a 12-pack, I think, of what looks like Martinelli's apple cider, Martinelli's apple drink?
Yeah, apple juice.
When it's filled with beer.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it looks the same, yeah.
Yeah, right. So he picks up his very well-known actor in Paradise Point, and this is in the 1980s when a lot of people did coke, and this very well-known actor, it turns out, was a cokehead. And so he drives him to work, and never has an accident. Great driver.
Hmm.
Okay? They can do great things when they're under the influence. And he's drinking all day long while his actor is acting, and he's working on vehicles, repairing vehicles.
Unbelievable.
And he goes home. And at 3:30, he finishes his last Martinelli's apple cider vinegar, or apple cider, which is really beer. And he doesn't have a drink for the rest of the evening.
Hmm.
Okay. He did the opposite of what everybody thinks.
Oh, so he drank all day long and then stopped early in the evening instead of starting early in the evening.
Yeah, late afternoon. So I said to him, so your blood alcohol level was high enough to keep you going until the next morning. He says, yep.
Wow.
We process the drug alcohol at a 0.015% per hour. So if he starts out at a 0.24, if he stops at 4 in the afternoon at 4 a.m. the next morning when he wakes up, that's 12, 18. He's processed 0.18 of that 0.24. So he's down to a 0.06, so he needs some booze again.
Unbelievable. So, you know, a Bloody Mary for breakfast, I guess, or something.
Oh, yeah. But it varies all over. I've known a longtime client of mine, he was a binger. He'd go on a bender for a couple of weeks, and then he destroyed relationships and ruined lives. And then for the next 2-3 years, he'd stay sober, fixing all of the relationships and lives he had destroyed.
Yeah. And they forgive him, I mean, because people... They have
forgive,
a sense of,
you know. and then when they're not looking for is the relapse, and you never ever believe an addict. How can you tell an alcoholic is lying? Moves his lips. Right? Don't believe the alcoholic when he says, "Oh, I haven't had a drink in 3 years." Oh yeah, tell me your birth date. Right? Birth date means that's the day they stopped drinking. That's when they were born again.
Hmm.
Okay, they can't tell you their birth date. They're not sober. They're acting like they're under the influence. They're not sober, or they're getting ready to relapse.
Huh, interesting.
I had a client once who came in with his latest, he was a perennially relapsing alcoholic. I already knew this about him. So he comes in with his yet latest hot babe. How did he wield power over others? He got hot babes. He committed Cyril Don Juanism. Okay, that was his particular style. So he comes in, we're doing his tax return, and his latest hot blonde babe's tax return, and he's belittling her the entire time.
Is that right?
I knew not to say a word. I'm not going to say a word. So I knew I was going to talk to him a few days later about some stuff. So I talked to him, and I said, by the way, Jan was his name. I said, Jan, you've relapsed. He says, no, I have not. And he goes into a five-minute diatribe about how he hadn't relapsed. And I said, Jan, after he stops, Jan, it doesn't wash. You were sitting there belittling your beautiful girlfriend the entire time you were sitting there. And there's quiet on the other end of the phone for about literally probably 30 seconds. And finally says, okay, I'll come clean with you.
Interest. Wow, you says, busted.
He says, I went to a bar that night. I had not been drinking yet, he said. Hmm. I went to a bar that night, and it took so long for them to bring me my drink, I had time to change my mind. I went to an AA meeting instead.
Oh, wow, okay. That's good.
Good for you.
Yeah,
for you.
Really.
So hence I learned that the behaviors can revert back to those of an alcoholic before they actually take a drink.
Hmm. Interesting.
No, ready to relapse.
That's what you call hardwired. Hey, Doug, when we come back, I want to ask you about, since you mentioned the Irish and Eastern Europeans, how different nationalities or ethnic backgrounds are more prone or less prone to alcoholism and addiction, and also if you have any celebrity news. And we'll talk about your addictionreport.com. That has some valuable information about all kinds of, there's a wealth of articles and information on alcohol addiction and all the things we're talking about today, and then how to get your books. We'll talk about your book issues after we come back from this brief break. But stay tuned now for this week's Health Report from veteran TV news reporter Dick Allgaier.
The risk of heart attack spikes exactly on Christmas Eve and for the 2 days following, according to a report in the British Medical Journal. One cardiologist said the peak is very pronounced on Christmas Eve, and it is so pronounced that they think it might be something specific for the way we celebrate holidays. Could be linked to stress, excessive food, and alcohol intake. The nation's obesity rate has reached the highest ever level this year, according to the United Health Foundation's annual survey. The obesity rate in the U.S. exceeded 30% of all adults for the first time since they've been doing the rankings. Obesity up 5% this year. Scientists exploring a complex disorder known as chronic fatigue syndrome have found clues in the way some people's immune systems respond more actively to a health attack. CFS is thought to affect up to 17 million people worldwide. Sufferers are often bedbound. Scientists have found people who are prone to CFS have an overactive immune system both before and during a challenge to the immune system. I'm Dick Allgaier. That's this week's Health Report.
Is getting a good night's sleep a challenge? Fortunately, there's a superior fast-acting sleep formula called Tranquil Sleep from Natural Factors. This non-habit-forming supplement contains a unique combination of melatonin, 5-HTP, and L-theanine, which works in harmony with your body's natural sleep hormones. Tranquil Sleep can help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep sounder, and wake up refreshed, all without feeling drowsy in the morning. The key benefit comes from increasing the time spent in the deeper stages of sleep. It's only in these deeper levels of sleep that we truly experience the rejuvenation, regeneration, and recuperation that sleep provides. Even if you think you get a good night's sleep, give Tranquil Sleep a try. You might be surprised with how much better you've slept by waking up with more energy and enthusiasm to start your day. Learn more at naturalfactors.com.
Do you own a dog or a cat? Then you need to know that Noni, Hawaii's most popular medicinal herb for people, can also be used for pets. In fact, thousands of pet owners give their animals Hawaiian Noni fruit leather regularly for energy, pain relief, digestion, and for their skin and coat textures. And for external use, pet owners rave about Hawaiian Health Ohana's lavender Noni lotion for wounds and infections, hot spots from fleas and ticks, and muscle and ligament strains. For more serious applications, there's the Instant Noni Aloe Bio Bandage, a natural salve with ingredients that form a protective healing barrier for maximum results. Natural healing for your pet, made from 100% pure organic Noni. Ask for the Noni Fruit Leather, Lavender Noni Lotion, or Noni Bio Bandage for pets at your nearest pet shop or health products retailer. And visit real-noni.com.
Welcome back to your weekly dose of verbal vitamins. It's the cure for the common radio show. David Snow on your radio. Thanks for staying with us on this holiday edition of the program. Our guest, if you're just joining us, is Doug Thorburn, an alcohol addiction expert. And this is the time of the year when the DUIs go up and unfortunately the deaths do too. And that's why we talk about it every year at this time with our resident alcohol addiction expert, Doug Thorburn. Doug, how can people get your books if they want to obtain one or more copies of them?
Amazon.com, you got them.
Okay, so just go to DougThorburn.com, is that it?
Yeah, awesome. Well, no, Amazon.com.
Well, Amazon.
They can also find, yeah, they can find
and
me.
And then Google your name.
Yeah, just Google me. Galt Publishing is my publisher. Or just shoot an email to me, DougThorburn@DougThorburn.com.
Okay, and T-H-O-R-B-U-R-N. Somebody in the studio before we got on the air said Doug Thornburg. Or Thornbird.
Right, yeah,
you have nothing to do with the Thornbirds.
Nope.
Okay. Let's talk about race and nationalities and ethnic backgrounds when it comes to alcohol addiction. You alluded earlier in the discussion on the Irish. Now, what about Eastern Europeans? There's the Asian population. Are they more or less prone to alcohol addiction? Let's take some of the more, I mean, we can't get into all the nationalities, but some of the major races in our country and how they are affected.
At the risk nowadays of being called a racist, it does have to do with ancestry, which,
right,
of course, is related to race.
Yeah, we're talking genetics. We're not talking, we're not discriminating against anybody, of course.
Yeah, so how long has one ancestor had access to fermented fruits and grains in large enough quantities to build up enough alcoholism to result in a resistance to alcoholism? Well, the Mediterranean populations have had access for 10 or 15,000 years. So they've had a long time to weed out the alcoholics. How did the alcoholics get weeded out? They acted dangerously. When you acted dangerously, pre-modern medicine, you didn't usually live very long.
Okay?
So they probably weeded out the alcoholics that way. And so they've got a rate of alcoholism around the Mediterranean areas of 5, 10%. Northern Europe, that's had access for only 12 to 1,500 years, to enough substances to cause enough alcoholism to result in resistance to it, has a rate of alcoholism as high as 20 to 30%. That would include Scandinavia, northern Russia.
Really?
Russia is explained by alcoholism, and, of course, Scotland and Ireland. Native Americans, they've had access for only 500 years, zero time on a microevolutionary scale to result in a resistance to alcoholism, hence a rate of addiction on some reservations as high as 75%. It's absolutely epidemic.
Interesting. Okay? Wow.
Yeah. And you ask about Asians. Asians are interesting. They've had some forms of booze, as have the South Americans and possibly the Africans. They have honey mead and some other things I'm not that familiar with.
Well, there's sake. There's the Japanese rice wine, sake.
Yeah, right. So probably 2,000 or 3,000 years. So they have a lower incidence of alcoholism. And, of course, their culture really puts a damper on excessive drinking.
Interesting. Now, getting back to America, I have a few kernels of factoids for you and for the audience. In 1820, the average American drank half a pint of whiskey every day. This is according to this research, and they say the longer that whiskey is aged, the longer it takes for your body to get rid of that alcohol. So I guess that makes a difference. But this is interesting. And as late as the 1930s, many doctors treated alcoholism, believe it or not, with a regimen of morphine injections.
Great.
So treating one addictive drug for another or with another.
Yep.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, that'll do it. You know, I don't need the boost because I got my morphine.
Yeah.
Fine.
Right. Okay.
And as I said before, they can usually become cross-addicted to other psychotropics.
Oh, yes. Cross-addiction. Yeah, you mentioned that. That's interesting. Now, what about different types of alcohol? I mentioned whiskey, but are there any different differences in addictive qualities, such as, you know, between beer, wine, and spirits?
Only the amount of alcohol.
It's only the amount of alcohol. Okay,
yeah,
so that's
the key
denominator.
Beer is 5%.
4 to 5.
Alcohol is 12%, which is 24 proof.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mean wine. You said alcohol, but you mean wine is 12% alcohol.
Right, yeah,
yeah,
20,
okay.
Which is 24 proof.
Okay.
And then you have liqueurs often in the 40s, and then hard liquor usually around 80 proof, which is 40% alcohol.
Mm, right, okay.
Yeah. And you have your moonshine, which is, you know, 150 proof.
Yeah, and then you have kombucha, which is just less than 1%, but some people get, you know, they're sensitive, and some of these kombucha, I don't mean to pick on them, but a lot of people drink way too much kombucha. Have you ever had kombucha, the fermented tea beverage?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, there was a few years back, Whole Foods banned this one particular company. I won't mention the brand name, but out of the store, because it turns out they were, well, I guess the bottles were exploding, but people were getting inebriated or, you know, they were having effects from it because the alcohol content went up to, I don't know, 1 or 2%, something like that. And even then there's, I think it has to go between, or it has to be below 0.5% alcohol for these kombuchas. But, you know, people drink a liter of it. And like you said, it's all about the amount. And so,
some people are sensitive.
Yeah. Yeah. And if people are,
hypertensive, though, they're not alcoholics.
Right.
You know, if they look like they're drunk at a 0.05, that's not an alcoholic we're talking
about. Yeah. Okay.
So they're not going to act badly some of the time. So I wouldn't define that as alcoholism.
Okay. So just in review, since a lot of people are going to be driving for the holidays, during the holidays, they already are, a few tips on, you just want to keep your eyes in your rearview mirror as well as ahead on the road ahead and just be very aware.
Yeah, get out of their way. If they look like they're coming like a bat out of hell, just get out of their way. If you can report them, great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get on the phone if you can do it safely. Call 911. Try to get the license plate number.
Sure.
I've done that a number of times. I've had several people pulled over. Only one of whom actually went to jail that I know of. Unfortunately, the one guy, I never forget, he was on something, but it wasn't booze.
Uh-huh.
And the cop just didn't know how to test for things other than booze. You got to be really good. You got to be a drug recognition expert to know what to do for amphetamines and opiates. And he let him go. Another guy, though, he was caught after he said, the cop told me, because I reported him, and then he got way ahead. And then I heard from the next day from the cop, are you the guy who reported this guy? Yeah. You got him? He said, yep, I did. And he said, I wasn't going to stop him when he was going 60 in the 40 zone going into town, small town in middle California. But he said, when he ran the red light, I said, I better pull him over.
Ah, Yeah, really, really. And you know,
could have killed somebody.
Oh, of course, of course. And you know, now with the medical marijuana and recreational marijuanas being, I mean, so many more states are legalizing it, this is compounding the problem because some people both drink and smoke the cannabis and marijuana.
And people ask me about pot all the time, marijuana. I view it as the least dangerous of all the drugs.
Yeah, but when you're combining it with the alcohol, it's don't you think that it's exacerbating that?
Then you have an alcoholic in almost every case. Mm. Combining pot with booze, any substantial quantity, it doesn't need to be a lot either because they potentiate each other. You can have a non-addictive amount of alcohol in the system, a non-addictive, ordinarily non-addictive amount of pot, of any other drug, pot included in the system, but they potentiate each other and you've got an addict.
Wow.
Almost all the time if they're combining drugs.
Interesting.
This is why so many people die of overdoses. They're combining.
That's right.
It's not the drug itself that kills usually. Heroin doesn't usually kill by itself, but you combine it with other stuff and it's going to kill.
A lot of the opioid deaths are the result of people drinking alcohol with them, or other drugs, as you mentioned.
Exactly. Doug, the drugs themselves are not usually that dangerous to the person. And my big concern is the person becomes dangerous to others. It's kind of like guns. I'm not worried about guns. I'm worried about the person using the gun.
Okay. Now, that's another program, and we're out of time right now. So I can't thank you enough. I want you to be back with us next year at the same time. But give us the titles of your four books and also your website one more time, please, for people tuning in late.
Drunks, Drugs, and Debits, How to Recognize Addicts and Avoid Financial Abuse. We've got, I forget the names of my own books, man. Missing Real Alcoholism.
That's a perfect symptom of a non-alcoholic.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it's perfect. Getting mature. Getting mature. Anyway, but they can go to Amazon.com and Google, you can just Google Amazon.com, Doug Thorburn, Thorburn. You'll find all my books. Addiction Report, I haven't written for 3 years, but I wrote it for a decade, and I had some great articles on the news. I viewed the news through the lens of alcohol and other drug addiction. And by the way, I wrote about Kim Jong-il and Kim Jong-un.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
They were fun. Yeah.
All right. On that note, thank you so much. Our show does rebroadcast tonight on the station you're listening to right now at 9 p.m. So if you want to listen to the rebroadcast or get a double dose of good health information, or if you tuned in late and didn't get the whole show, you can listen to it tonight. Or you can always go to the website drhealthradio.com. That's drhealthradio.com. Thanks so much for joining us. Join us again next week, same time, same station. Until then, I'm David Snow reminding you, it isn't how long you live, it's how you live long. Aloha, have a healthy week.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.